Our loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee for that blessed hope of the Christian. We thank Thee, Lord, that the Saviour did say, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So we rejoice today, Lord, that planet Earth has not seen the last of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt help us now as we gather around Thy word. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless us. And I pray, Lord, that Thou wilt take control of this tongue of mine. O Lord, I confess that this tongue by nature is a sinful tongue. Lord, we confess that the tongue is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison, and the tongue can no man tame. But we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art able to tame the tongue. And we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art able to make the tongue a channel of blessing. Lord, make this tongue of mine a channel of blessing today. And I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, He undertakes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to read from Psalm 43. Psalm 43. Psalm 43 and the first verse. "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For Thou art the God of my strength. Why dost Thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out Thy light and Thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto Thy holy hill and to Thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise Thee, O God, my God. Why art Thou cast down, O my soul? And why art Thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Well, we've all heard of Martin Luther, but I wonder if you ever heard of Martin Luther's wife. Her name was Catherine von Bora, and one day Luther's wife came into the room where Luther was, and she was wearing a black dress. And so Luther turned round and he said, "Who has died? Has somebody died? Why are you wearing a black dress?" And she turned and she said, "Well, the way that you've been lately, you would think that God is dead. So I decided today to wear a black dress." You see, previously, for a number of days, up until that particular day when Luther's wife wore the black dress, the great reformer had been very cast down. He'd been very discouraged, and he had been going about every day despondent. And so Luther's wife, she thought that she would try to bring him out of his despondency. You see, Luther was, in a sense, behaving as if God was dead. His world seemed to have fallen apart. He was cast down. I don't know why it was that he was cast down. Of course, Luther had many enemies in his day because of the fearless work that he undertook, translating the Bible. And of course, the Church of Rome despised anyone who made the Bible available to the common people. And Luther had many enemies, but I don't know if that was the reason why he was cast down. But for some reason, he had been cast down. And I thought it was very wise what his wife did. And of course, whenever whenever Luther saw his wife in the black dress, and whenever she said, "God is dead, God must be dead because you've been so cast down recently." Of course, Luther realized, God is not dead. The Lord's alive. The Lord is on his throne. And why am I cast down? Why am I discouraged? Maybe, dear friend, you've come into the meeting today discouraged, cast down. You're despondent today. Maybe there's been a heavy cloud that has been hanging over you for quite some time. Well, I want this message today to be an encouragement to you. We're going to think today about defeating depression. That's the title that I want to give the message today. Defeating depression. And I want us to approach the subject of depression today from three angles. We're going to ask three questions today. Where did the term depression come from? Why do people get depressed? And what is the solution for depression? Well, first of all, where did the term come from? Does the Bible mention depression? Is the term depression used in the scriptures? Well, the answer is no. You can read from Genesis to Revelation, but you'll never once come across the word depression. Now, the Bible uses other words, and I'll be honest with you, I prefer to use the words that the Bible uses. The Bible talks about despair. Despair. It talks about being distressed. Distress. It talks about being dismayed. It talks about being discouraged. All the D words. But then the Bible uses other words to refer to someone who is cast down. Someone who's, we would say today, they're down in the dumps. The Bible uses other terms. The Bible talks about being overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. Remember, David said in Psalm 61, "From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed within me. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." So the Bible talks about being overwhelmed. And then it talks of a sorrowful spirit. Remember that Hannah was a woman of a sorrowful spirit. The Bible talks of bitterness of soul. The Bible talks about being very heavy. You remember the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus was very heavy, the Bible says. And then there's another term, of course, that's used about someone who's discouraged and cast down, depressed, if you like. The Bible talks about being cast down. And we've read Psalm 43 today, and the last verse of the psalm, verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Cast down. So where did the term come from, the term depression? Well, the term depression actually came from America. And it's a term that has only come into our language really over the last 50 years or so. And people have started to use this word depression. And every day you hear this word mentioned, and how sad it is to hear almost daily of people who are depressed and they're suffering from depression. And you know, our hearts go out to people like that, isn't that right? And we need to pray for them. And we need to seek to encourage them. We need to seek to comfort them. So the term depression is not a scriptural term. It's a term that has come, I suppose you could say, really from the world of psychology. And it's come from American psychology in particular. Where did it come from? Then I want you to move on, please, and think with me about the second question today. Why do people get depressed?
Why do people get cast down or get discouraged? Or why are people overwhelmed? Or to use the term that the Puritans used, the Puritans used to talk about melancholy. If you were depressed, you were suffering from melancholy. You were someone of a melancholic spirit. Why is it that people suffer from melancholy? Well, I believe that there are many different reasons, but if we can try to put them into three groups today, we're going to try to put them into three general groups today. Groups of people who suffer from depression. The first group are those people who get depressed for no apparent reason. Someone who's depressed and you can't work out why they're depressed. Of course, there are people like that. And as we've already said, we sympathize with them and our hearts go out to them. And our hearts are full of compassion for them because they're suffering from this terrible despondency. And yet they don't know why they're suffering and nobody else seems to know why they're suffering. I think of some of the great men of the past, some of the great Christian men from the past who suffered from depression and despondency and nobody could work out why. You think of William Cowper. William Cowper, the great hymn writer, suffered from terrible depression. He was so often cast down. He was so discouraged on one occasion, so depressed on one occasion that he was contemplating suicide. He was actually about to commit suicide. Can you believe it? The man who wrote, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins." One of the greatest hymns ever written. The man who wrote that hymn on one occasion was about to throw himself off a bridge. The story goes, and I've maybe told it before, but I'll tell it again. The story goes that Cowper called for a carriage, or we would say a taxi, to take him to the river so that he could jump off the bridge into the river and drown himself. But whenever the taxi came and the taxi started off and the carriage started off toward the river, guess what happened? Fog descended. And the taxi went round in circles and wasn't able to find the river. Who sent the fog? The Creator, the great God of heaven, William Cowper's Savior. And the fog descended, the carriage driver drove around in circles, and then he turned to Cowper and he said, "Mr. Cowper, we're going around in circles, we're getting nowhere, there's no point in me trying to take you to the river. We'll have to go back home." And the taxi driver left him back home, and Cowper was spared. And my, how we praise the Lord that he was spared because of the great hymns that we have today from the pen of William Cowper. But we think of Charles Spurgeon too, C.H. Spurgeon, a man that was mightily used by the Lord, the Prince of Preachers he was called. And Spurgeon on many occasions suffered from melancholy. And he was often discouraged and often anxious and he was often fearful. He was so bad at one point that he had to actually leave England and he had to go to the south of France. He had to get away to the sun for the sake of his health. But my, was there ever a preacher like C.H. Spurgeon? Was there ever a man who loved to exalt Christ as much as Spurgeon? Spurgeon said on one occasion, "If Christ be not preached, better is it that the sun should not rise." It's better that the sun should not rise than that we fail to preach Christ. But yet he suffered from depression. And nobody knew why he was depressed. So there are those who suffer from depression and they're cast down and they're depressed for no apparent reason. Then the second group are those who are depressed and those who are discouraged because of adverse circumstances, because of what they've suffered. There are people who are depressed and who are despondent today because of what life has thrown at them, and they've suffered perhaps bereavement, and they've lost their jobs, and they've lost so much, and they've suffered so much, and they've been perhaps abused, or they've been hurt in some other way. Adverse circumstances. We think of characters in the Bible like Job. And Job suffered from terrible depression, but there was a perfectly good reason for it. Adverse circumstances. Job lost his family. All his children were cut down in one day. He lost his health. He suffered so much. Perhaps there is no one who has suffered more than Job in the history of the world than the Lord Jesus himself, and perhaps the Apostle Paul. But Job was a man who suffered greatly, and he was cast down. He was depressed, we would say. Do you know that Job said on one occasion, "Cursed be the day that I was born." He cursed the day of his birth. But he was still a child of God. He was still washed in the blood. And even though he was going through agonizing days, days of great heartache, days when he couldn't understand why life was so difficult, yet the Lord Jesus Christ, his Redeemer, was holding on to him. And the Savior was clinging to his child, and he was safe. You see, people talk today, I know that people do talk about the importance of us clinging to Christ. And that is important. But thank God, Christ clings to us. Remember that, child of God, today. Not only do you cling to Christ for salvation, but praise God, he clings to you. And he's holding on to you today. And he was holding on to his servant Job. We think of Hannah, who we've already mentioned. And of course, Hannah suffered from adverse circumstances. She was mocked by Elkanah's other wife, ridiculed. And of course, her greatest burden and her greatest heartache was the fact that she had no children. And she was a woman of a sorrowful spirit, the Bible says. So there are people who get depressed and discouraged because of adverse circumstances. But let me move on today to the third group of people who get depressed. You see, there are people who are depressed today and they're cast down, and it's because of personal sin. It's because of their own sin. And really, those people are not suffering from depression in the true sense of the word. They're actually experiencing conviction. It's a guilty conscience. It's the guilt and the weight of sin upon their shoulders. I wonder, is there anyone in the meeting today and you feel depressed, you feel cast down? Could it be that the reason that you're cast down is because of your sin? Because rather than you bringing your sin to Christ and coming to the old rugged cross and casting your burden down at the foot of the cross, rather than you doing that, you're holding on to your sin and you're not willing to give it up. That's the reason why you're cast down. That's the reason why, if I can put it like this, you feel that the world is upon your shoulders. The reason perhaps is, could it be today that the reason is that you've never been saved? Or perhaps could the reason today be that you're a backslider and you're in the far country and you've turned your back on the Lord and you've walked away from Him? You can remember the day that you were saved. You can remember the night that you were saved. And you can remember the early days of your experience as a Christian, but things are not like that now, and you've turned, and as the prophet Isaiah said, you've turned to your own way, and just like a sheep, you've gone astray. You see, there are people, and they're not depressed. They might think that they're depressed, but actually, they're not depressed at all. They're feeling the pangs of conviction. Sin always brings a feeling of guilt. How could you not be cast down when you turn your back on God? How could you not be cast down whenever you turn your back on the Sunday services? Whenever you turn your back on the prayer meeting? Whenever you turn your back on the work of God, you turn your back on the Bible, you don't read it anymore, you turn your back on prayer. How could you not be cast down? I'm amazed that any backslider can avoid depression. I'm amazed that any backslider can avoid this feeling of guilt. And friend, if you're in this category today, you need to repent. There's no point, my dear friend, in you running to this one and that one and to the other one until you get this matter sorted out. You see, the root of your problem is a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual issue. There are people in our country today who are going to doctors and medical people and they're receiving medication. Now, by the way, I'm not speaking against medication. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with going to doctors and getting prescriptions and receiving medication. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that there are people who are doing that whenever they should really be coming to the Lord and getting their spiritual condition sorted out first. You see, that's where we need to start. Have you started there? Have you got things sorted out between you and the Lord? If not, that's where you need to start. And my friend, can I assure you today, can I encourage you today that whenever you come to the Lord with your burden of sin, then you will find that that burden of sin will leave. Because burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. 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 Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Have you come to the cross yet? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you trusting in the finished work of Christ? Have you repented of your sins? Repentance is a subject that needs to be preached more than ever today. Whenever you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you must turn your back on your old life. You've got to say, as one old preacher put it, you've got to say, bye-bye sin. Bye-bye sin. My old companions, fare ye well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. So we've thought about the first two questions. Where did the term depression come from? And then why do people get depressed? And then I want to finish today What is the solution? What's the solution? And now we're speaking more so to the child of God, to the Christian. You see, there are dear Christians, precious children of the Lord, who today are suffering from depression through no fault of their own. It's not because of personal sin. They are suffering from melancholy. They're cast down like psalmist through no fault of their own. What is the solution? How do we handle depression as the people of God? Well, the first thing that I want to say is today, turn to the Bible. Let the Bible be your first port of call. Why do I say that? Why do I say that the Bible is the first solution to depression in the child of God? Well, you notice Psalm 43, we need to get back to the portion we read earlier. You notice what it says in verse 3. O, send out thy light and thy truth. O, send out thy light and thy truth. The psalmist, who was so cast down, was saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm depressed, I'm discouraged, I'm overwhelmed, but Lord, if you'll only turn me to your word, then that will be my comfort. That will be my rock in this time of depression. Lord, I'm going to turn to your word. Send out your light. Send out your truth. Notice what it says. Let them lead me. Let them lead me. Lord, I'm discouraged. I'm dismayed. I'm filled with a sorrowful spirit. I've got bitterness of soul. I'm very heavy, Lord. But I'm going to turn to the Bible. I'm going to turn to your word, and I'm going to find solace in the Holy Scriptures. O, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. You see, dear child of God, I wonder who's leading you today or what's leading you. I wonder, do we have believers in the meeting today who are suffering from depression and cast down and discouraged? I want to encourage you today. I want to speak in love to you today. And I just want to ask you the question, what's leading you today? Are your emotions leading you? Or is the Word of God leading you? Whenever we're depressed, the first solution is that we let the Word of God lead us. That we turn to the Bible. And my, what comfort we find in the pages of God's Word. Aren't you thankful that King James commanded those men 400 years ago to put together diligently this book? And aren't you encouraged by that, child of God today, suffering from despondency, suffering from melancholy? Don't you rejoice today in this book that was translated 400 years ago for your comfort? Turn to the Bible. But then secondly, can I say that there's another solution? Not only turn to the Bible, child of God, but think about the blood. Think about the blood. You see, you'll notice that David here in Psalm 43, he says in verse 4, then will I go unto the altar of God. Then will I go unto the altar of God. The altar is the place of sacrifice. The place where the atoning blood was shed. Isn't that a great comfort to the Christian who's cast down, to be often thinking about the blood? That's good medicine for depression, isn't it? Think about what he suffered. Oh yes, I'm cast down. I'm in distress. I feel full of despair. But what I'm suffering is nothing to be compared with what he suffered. He died an atoning death. He died an atoning death. He died an atoning death for thee. He died an atoning death. O wondrous love, it was for thee. He died an atoning death. Don't you rejoice, dear child of God, in the precious blood of the Savior. And when you're in the midst of depression, and I know that perhaps there are some of the Lord's people who at this very moment are battling with depression, think much about the blood. And child of God, let me say to those in the meeting who are not cast down today and they're not in despair today, at some point you will be. And whenever you're in the midst of it, turn to the Bible. Think about the blood. And then thirdly, be thankful for your blessings. Be thankful for your blessings. You see, the psalmist finishes Psalm 43 with these words. He says, or verse 4, "Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God." And then verse 5, "For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Oh, the psalmist who was suffering so much and he was overwhelmed and he was crying out to the Lord in his distress, he realized the importance of praising God. He realized the importance of giving thanks to God for his blessings. You know, that's a great remedy for discouragement. Rejoicing and thanking God for the blessings that you have. And thanking God that things are not worse. I remember hearing the story of a preacher who was traveling to a particular church one Sunday, and he had to walk to the church. And back in those days, they didn't have cars. And so he started out on his journey, and the journey would last a number of miles. And the rain came on. And as he walked those miles, before he reached the church, he was completely soaked. And he got up into the pulpit and he started the service. And you know, the first thing he said whenever he opened in prayer was, "Thank you, Lord, that it's not like this every day. Thank you, Lord, that it's not wet like this every day. Yes, I may be soaked, but I thank you, Lord, that there are days whenever you send the sunshine." Of course, Matthew Henry, the great commentator, on one occasion was robbed. He was mugged. And he was beaten up, and you'd have said, well, if anyone has cause to be depressed and cast down, surely it would be him. But you know what he wrote afterward? He said, "I'm so thankful to the Lord that I was robbed and that I wasn't the robber. I'm thankful that I was robbed, that I didn't do the robbing. And I'm thankful, Lord, that the robber didn't take my life." Thankfulness, praise. What is the solution for the child of God who's depressed? Turn to the Bible. Whether you read it or listen to it. I know that some of the Lord's dear people, sometimes when they're down in the depths of depression, they can't even bring themselves to read the Bible. Well, why don't you listen to it? Make sure you're in the house of God and you can listen to it. You know, the one place that a depressed person should make sure that they're found in is church. Any Christian who is depressed, the first place that they should make their way to is the house of God. That's why I can't understand whenever a Christian says they're depressed, but they stay away from church. The one place that a child of God needs to be for their own comfort is the house of God. And we turn to the Bible and we think about the blood and we're thankful for our blessings.